As has been announced this morning, we'll be talking about divided interest. And the key scripture I'll start with is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 34. This morning what I'd like to do is first of all make some comments, introduce the topic. And I'd like then to talk about three difficulties. Talk about four biblical principles to deal with those, and then finally a wrap-up. My objective here is to discuss the difficulties and ways to meet them in a family where only one mate is a Christian. As I have prepared this lesson, of course, I'm speaking to you all, so you all are listening to my words. But I have a target audience that I'm speaking directly to this morning. And that target audience are all the young and middle-aged Christian couples. That would include the McElroys, the Suttles, the Hazelriggs, the Young Knudsons, the Hodges, the Yells, the Whiteheads, the Young Ottersbacks, the Bogues. Because 21 years ago, if we were having a gospel meeting on Saturday morning, I would be here with my wife, Letitia. She would be faithfully serving the Lord, and my two children will be with me. Of course, you know the story. In terms of not being faithful for many years. And so the warning to the young Christians and the middle-aged Christians, don't think it can't happen to you, that one of your mates can apostatize. And so what are you going to do? When I wrap up the session this morning, I'm going to provide some work that needs to be done by young and middle-aged Christian couples. My wife, as I mentioned, was serving the Lord faithfully. We would have attended all the Bible classes. She would have been here on Wednesday morning, ladies' Bible class. And I remember at times she was even teaching. We were studying Acts. I was here in the auditorium, Brother Fontenot's teaching. Letitia was teaching Acts in the children's class. We worked on Acts together. She had the markings of the text. She had her markings. I had our markings. We were studying Acts together at home. So, brethren, for those young and middle-aged Christian couples, it can happen to one of your mate. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34, and look at this key scripture. Before I do that, let's set the setting on 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This chapter is about immoralities. You see that in chapter 7, verse 2. It says, because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Paul here is addressing some concerns that the brethren in Corinth had him, and he's addressing that. And there are four groups of people that he addresses. He starts out in verse 8 to the unmarried. He says, but I say to the unmarried, gives them instructions. Then he goes to verse 10. Then he goes to the Christian couple that are married. He's at verse 10, but to the married. He addresses them. And then he drops down to verse 12, but to the rest. And that would be mixed marriages, one believer, one not. And if you go all the way down to verse 25, he addresses the fourth group. It says, now concerning virgins. And this is where we find our verse 34. And as we read verse 34, it's important for us to recognize the setting here as Paul is addressing these questions. And the key verse here is verse 26. I think then that it is good in the view of this present distress that it is good for a man to remain as he is, as he is addressing virgins. So there was a present distress happening to this church. And so these instructions, as guided by the Holy Spirit, he provides. And so let's look at verse 34. Let's just back up to verse 32 as he addresses the virgins. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, that he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. And so this introduces to us the scripture that there can be marriages. There can be division. And here in this particular case, he addresses the virgin. Because of the present distress, he's suggesting that the unmarried stay unmarried because of the present distress. Because if she's married, then she's got interest just to serve the husband and also serve the Lord. And so this is the verse that introduced the subject that, you know, families can be divided. And it's not the only scripture that we can turn to look at that. So let's look at the three difficulties that I face with one mate not being a Christian. Before I get into these three difficulties, first of all, let me say the most pressing difficulty, of course, is you got three other souls that haven't obeyed the gospel. So yes, I talk about these difficulties that I face, but even a more higher order is the salvation of their souls. The first one here, and it's obvious, some of these things are obvious, as you would expect in the situation that I'm in, is about practicing hospitality. We know as Christians, we are to practice hospitality. And so if one mate's not a Christian, how do you practice hospitality when you command it? Well, you can't do it. Something you need to recognize. Now, you say that would be obvious. Okay, I don't practice hospitality. But to us, to Letitia and I, or to me especially, is something near and dear to me. Because many of you knew, there's some here that were here 21 years ago. And you all remember how we practiced when my wife was faithful, practiced hospitality. We had Bible classes in our home. We had singings in our home. We had social gatherings in our home. We had birthday for our kids. There are many married couples here who have children. So I look upon this audience. You were just children when you were over in my house having birthday parties. I have pictures of you. And so it's difficult. And both my wife and I enjoyed hospitality. We enjoyed servicing the brethren. But, of course, that's a difficulty now. The second difficulty, and it kind of follows along with the first one here, is, of course, I'm coming by myself. Been doing that for over 21 years. So coming to services as by myself and being able to work together as a team like we used to, visiting people, working together, doing things among brethren as a team. No longer can I do that. I have to do it as an individual. And, of course, when I do that as an individual, that separation presents difficulties. It's not just, well, I just do it if I want to do it. There are some limits to that because of that the situation that I have. And the third difficulty is one of raising children who may obey the gospel. You know that both Mark and Joanna never have obeyed the gospel. Now, I do believe as a father, when I go to God in prayer, did I teach and admonish Mark and Joanna as a father? And consciously, I said, yes, I did. But I know there's probably something that I said, maybe not being enough diligent, maybe it was the attitude. And yes, I recognize they're free moral agents, but both of them have never obeyed the gospel today. And the thing I want to relate to you here is a personal learning, and it may be different in your families and your experiences, is that the faith of the mother and the steadfastness of the wife are critical for the children to obey the gospel. Here, of course, my wife isn't. I'm a faithful Christian. Neither have obeyed. The influence of a faithful mother, what I have observed, is a very, very strong impact on the children to obey the gospel. So you young couples who have children or will have children, think about that. That if one or if the mother, especially the mother or the wife, apostatize, the impact upon the children. And it is, I believe, in my situation, a very important driver. Okay, let's talk about the principles to meet these difficulties. The first one here is the principle of seeking first His kingdom. Open with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, and let's look at verses 67 and 68. Here in this chapter, as Jesus is talking, He has this discourse that He gives about the bread of life. He also, in this chapter, has walked on the water and has fed 5,000. And Jesus, in this discourse, then tells the Jews, in verse 52, that you have to eat His flesh and drink His blood, 52 and 53, meaning that they had to believe in Jesus with all their heart. And, of course, not all the disciples, they wanted the food, they wanted the bread that Jesus produced. Now let's look at verses 67 and 68. So then Jesus turns to His disciples, and know what Jesus said in verse 67. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When we look at life, spiritual life, we know we have two choices, serve God or serve the devil. We know there are many religious people in the world today. They think they're serving God, but they're really serving the devil, either through ignorance, through deceit, hardness of heart. But here Jesus is talking to His disciples. Okay, well, you want to go with these people also? But what does Peter respond? Who shall we go? Yes, brethren, there are two choices, serve God or serve the devil. But do you realize there's only really one right answer? And that is to serve God, because Christ has words of life. If I were to go to a man out in the world, I say, sir, you want life or death? What is he going to choose? You going to choose death? No, life. And the point here, brethren, is in dealing with a situation, recognizing that God comes first no matter what. He has the words of life. I have no other choice. Need to serve God, serve our Master. The second principle we want to look at here is one that I call balance. My mother died when I was very young, at 4 years of age. I was raised by my older aunt and uncle. And he taught me, passed away many years, he taught me some very valuable lessons in life. And one of the lessons he taught me in life is the lesson about balance. I tended to, when I did things, concentrate on that and just shut everything else down around life. But he taught me you need to balance your life. And this is a principle we find in Scripture. And the principle, and it's just a natural principle, that duties grow out of relationships. Yes, I am a Christian man, but I am also a husband. In Ephesians 5:25, you don't need to turn there. If you wish, you can. Very familiar verses. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm a husband. I have to love my wife even though she is a non-believer now. And not only do that, I have to love her with a sacrificial love and give her my all to take care of all her needs. The four parts of a wife need to be taken care of. And I shouldn't hold anything against her for apostatizing in terms of my duty to her as a husband. Now, recognizing that balance, we know in life we're limited by time, resources, and money. And of course, I have to balance that because my wife is the situation she is. I have duties to her, but I also have duties to the Lord. The third principle that I want to look at now is that one very familiar to you is that the Lord expects only what you are capable of. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14, verse 8. Mark 14, verse 8. Here Jesus is the week before he is crucified. And you recall the story about this woman who came and anoints his head with oil. And there's some opposition. Some of the people there were saying, well, she's wasting perfume and could be given to the poor. Note what Jesus says in Mark 14, verse 8, as he talks to these people that are raising these issues, talking about what this woman has done. She says, she has done what she could. The principle here is God only expects me, only expects you to do only what you're capable of. I, in my situation, I have limitations. The Lord knows that. He understands that. And I shouldn't beat myself up for things I can't do as a team like we used to, or get upset about the hospitality issues. I only can do what I can do, a principle that God works with people. And the last principle, and it's actually two principles, is the one of prayer and rejoicing with the Lord. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when he was talking about putting on the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 18, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Brethren, God has given us the avenue of prayer for support, for help, for guidance. And in my life, very, very important that you need prayer. Need it every day with my situation with my wife and my family. And the one that goes along with it is the one about rejoicing in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. You're very familiar. Short verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. For those who are Christians, we have that relationship. We are in the Lord. No matter what our difficulties are, family, job, health, we are to rise above that. We are to have an attitude of rejoicing because of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. You will note sometimes when I lead prayer, many times I will include the messages about rejoicing in the Lord. It is difficult for me to rejoice in the Lord, but I know I'm commanded, and I got to put aside the issues and the family problems and to have this particular attitude, as the Lord has said. So, brethren, as we wrap this thing up about this particular issue of divided interest, again, the target group for these young and middle-aged Christians is to avoid apostasy. Do not think everything might be happy today. You're all here. Great, you're here. You worship the Lord. You're serving the Lord. You're doing a lot of great works. Do not ever think that it cannot happen to your mate because it can. So what do you do? Well, there is work to be done. Build your faith as individuals. Work on your faith. Build it up through study and through prayer. Don't rely on your husband or your wife to do that. Build up your own faith. You as a couple, build up your family and your marriages. Nurture your marriages. Recognize that as you go through time, that in married for a number of years, I remember Brother Fontenot when he talks about marriages in the family. He says marriages is like a garden. You got to tend to it. You got to water it. You got to nourish it. Pull the weeds. Change the plants. Your marriage is the same type of thing. So young couples, don't take each other for granted, but to work on your marriages and nurture them. And for husbands and fathers, you are the leaders of your family. You are to be providing spiritual food for your wife and for your children. Are you doing that? You need to work on it. Your family togetherness as being serving the Lord may be impacted down the road. And the last thing for the target group I'd like to mention is you will go across different issues, serving the Lord in a congregation. There will be issues that will come up. And there may be issues that scripturally your mate might be some issue, may be not right. But you are still to provide the emotional support to them and recognizing they're still your loving mate no matter what they go through. They may be wrong. Don't abandon them. Strengthen them. Help them see the error of their ways. Be empathetic to them. Show the emotional support to them. As I address the congregation here about this particular issue, you're well aware that I'm not the only one here. There are about 80 families here in this congregation, and there are actually about 8 families that are in a similar situation. So I know your faith and what you do with your mate is an encouragement to me. And I know the things that I'm talking about you're well aware of, and there are probably issues that you have that I don't have. But appreciate you for your faith. And last of all, I'd like to make a plea to the older Christian couples who are been through the roads, who are experienced in knowledge. Do not forget the young and the middle-aged Christian families. They still need guidance. They still need support. They still need your experiences and your knowledge from Scripture to help guide them through life. Now, you might ask about Letitia and what her situation is. As you know, she did apostatize, like I mentioned, about 21 years ago. And I have seen the dark, dark world of apostasy. And many of you know that she caught, a couple years ago, the H1N1 virus and almost died. And before that, the spiritual window was closed. Well, she now has recognized that God had a play in saving her life. And that spiritual window now has been opened. And the progress will be slow, but it is opening and progress is being made. So I encourage you, brethren, pray for Letitia and pray for me.